You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith with today's special edition of Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's Northwest Side on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Our phone number 312-751-1979, 312-751-1979. Time is 9:01 here in Chicago on this rather cold, blustery November day here in Chicago. We have a tremendous program lined up for today here on Catholic Schools Today. Our first guest is William Booth, the Major Gifts Officer for Catholic Schools in the Office for Stewardship and Development for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Good morning, Bill. Welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
Delighted to be here, Father Greg.
And we're going to be talking about Lessons That Last a Lifetime, which is an initiative sponsored by the Archdiocese of Chicago to support its Catholic schools. It was designed especially for financially distressed schools, primarily located in the ring of suburbs around Chicago. And Lessons That Last a Lifetime is similar to the very successful Big Shoulders program, which has been supporting the inner city Catholic schools in Chicago for more than 20 years. And Bill, you are the ringleader of Lessons That Last a Lifetime.
Well, I'm the only one in the room, so I guess I'm the ringleader
so
here.
You are the ringleader. Now, Bill, when I met you for the first time about a half hour ago back in the outside the studio, you have a fascinating story. So before we even get into Lessons That Last a Lifetime, just mention you were not born and raised Catholic, but your background was Presbyterian. And tell us what happened about 8-9 years ago.
Well, I'm one of those converts, you know, that I guess Catholics look up to. And so I had an interesting experience. I had done a campaign for the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. And so I got some inkling about what Catholicism was. But it really didn't blossom until I went to Catholic Theological Union, and I spent 12 years there. And during that period of time, I just felt warmed. Something was hitting me, and it must have been the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. because I got a call one day from one of its board members, an African-American woman, Joan Neal, who used to be the vice president at Harris Bank, one of the trustees.
And connected with St. James.
And she's connected with St. James. And she asked me if I wouldn't, she got a call from the Holy Spirit asking me to come to visit their parish for the veneration of the cross ceremonies during the Easter celebration. And so I did, you know, I was thinking of watching TV that night, so if the Holy Spirit is asking, so I guess I should go. And I was just bowled over by the attention and the dedication and passion that community looked upon the cross. And so she asked me to stay for the Easter Vigil. I didn't know exactly what that was, but I lived in Barrington. And I said, well, I know there's this parish up there called Holy Family, and Father Pat Brennan, the pastor there, did some teaching in our summer institute at CTU, and some of the other staff members were graduates of Catholic Theological Union. So I thought, well, I'll take the wife and we'll go there. And I was, again, very impressed by the theatricals, but also the passion with which they display and celebrate their religion. And I just signed up for RCIA. The next day or the next week, and I went through a year-long RCIA program. And I was, when I finished and was confirmed, and, you know, Father Pat asked me to do witness before all of the masses. So I'm in this hook, line, and sinker, I think, right now.
You got
now,
deeply involved. Really, but it was through the invitation of a woman over at St. James who was with you at CTU, Joan,
That's right.
Said, I got a call. I've never heard that. I got a call from the Holy Spirit. I think of call like, you know, dialing the phone, and yet you responded because you could have stayed home that evening and watched television.
Whatever.
And now you're deeply involved with Holy Family. But now getting directly from your story, you have an initiative going, which is phenomenal. Tell us about Lessons That Last a Lifetime. Who created it and how long has it been around?
Well, I spent 12 years at Catholic Theological Union, and I thought the time had come for the Holy Spirit to take me somewhere else. And I didn't know where that might be, and I got a call, and I guess timing is of the essence, too, from Ray Coughlin, the director of the Stewardship and Development Office here, and he asked me to come over to think about starting a program that would be an extension of the Big Shoulders program to support all of the Catholic schools beyond the inner city, mostly those schools in the collar area surrounding the inner city. And so I had lunch with the Cardinal, and he impressed me as being somebody that's convinced to do this. And Father John Canary was part of that. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe God and the Holy Spirit are telling me to not retire yet.
So. How long ago was this luncheon?
Well, this is probably 8 months ago.
Okay, so this is within the year.
Absolutely.
So we're talking, of course, people are very familiar with Big Shoulders in the Archdiocese schools, inner city schools. But, you know, Lessons That Last a Lifetime is literally a brand new initiative. So you have the luncheon with the Cardinal and with Father Canary and, of course, initiative through Ray Coughlin. And what happened then?
Well, I, you know, I knew that it was going to be tough because there's a lot of fundraising going on at the Archdiocese with our Catholic appeal, and certainly at the local level, there's a lot of fundraising going on. And Big Shoulders was, it is what it is. It is, it's a pretty substantial entity, very successful over 20 plus years. So I had to find a way in which we could at least create some sort of recognition for a new initiative. And retired J. Walter Thompson executive, Tom DeMint, and I sat down one day, and well, I guess it was over a group of days, and we finally come up with this this theme called Lessons That Last a Lifetime. And I think it has a certain endearing quality and enduring quality about it. And so we thought, well, the two things that we need to do is to help market that program. And we did so through two things. One is that we enlisted Pat McCaskey, the family that owns the Bears.
Chicago Bears, sure.
To be part of our marketing effort. And he's helped us tremendously in doing that. And but also we thought that, or at least I thought, that Sister Mary Paul McCauley, who is the new superintendent of schools, should be introduced to the Archdiocese. And the bishops, all the bishops and all the vicariates got on board to help introduce her to key members of the community. And so we had at least, you know, at least one gathering in a parish at each of the vicariates hosted by the local bishops. And so she was introduced to the community that way. So we're doing various things. But it's a new thing.
But I think, the hardest things that I think would be not working against you, but as you mentioned earlier, Bill, is the fact that when you have Big Shoulders, when you have the annual Catholic appeal, when you have these weekly collections, like we have the Catholic Campaign for Human Development this weekend for the Archdiocese, you know, it's collection after collection, which are, by the way, all extremely important.
Yes.
You tie that in
with
what's happened to our economy, especially since Labor Day. But I do find that even in hard times, people still dig deeply into their pocket, and they believe in something, they do give, they do support. But the thing that's working, you know, with you right now is you've got tremendous support of the Cardinal, of the bishops, of the Archdiocese of Chicago, the, you know, sister is a new superintendent, and have somebody like Pat McCaskey with the Chicago Bears.
Yes.
So now, and with the Lessons That Last a Lifetime, what are some of your initial goals for the entire project?
Well, you know, I think Jimmy Legault, who is our chancellor, really made it pretty clear in terms of what the objective is in this, is that, you know, the Archdiocese gives out about $11.5 million, or it's planned to do that over the next fiscal year. And $8 million of that comes from the Big Shoulders program and also from the Catholic Appeal. A portion of the Catholic Appeal receipts go to support Catholic schools. So there's a shortfall of about $3 to $3.5 million, and I think that is really the optimum goal for the Lessons That Last a Lifetime initiative. And so that's my marching orders.
You've got a big deal. We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Schools Today, and I'm Father Greg Sackowitz. And our guest is Bill Booth, Major Gifts Officer for Catholic Schools in the Office of Stewardship and Development for the Archdiocese, with a new program or a new venture called Lessons That Last a Lifetime, 312-751-1979. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break, and don't touch that dial.
Are you tired of negative messages targeting our youth today? Do you want to bring hope to more than 20,000 teens and college students this year with the message of chastity? Then join us on Saturday, November 22nd for the Archdiocese of Chicago's Educating Minds, Inspiring Hearts Benefit Dinner to support the Chastity Education Initiative. Come and support what Cardinal George calls one of the finest chastity education programs in the nation. The event will feature Cardinal George and nationally renowned journalist, author, and EWTN personality Colleen Carroll Campbell. The Chastity Education Initiative relies solely on donations, so your support is crucial. Come join us on Saturday, November 22nd at Drury Lane in Oak Brook Terrace, Illinois. For reservations or more information, log on to www.respectlifechicago.org or call the Respect Life office at 312-751-5355.
Chicago Bears executive Pat McCaskey attended a Catholic elementary school, high school, and university. He's glad he did.
The Bears have always emphasized community work, and I learned how to do that in the Catholic schools.
The Catholic schools of Cook and Lake Counties enjoy extremely high attendance and graduation rates, and they put students on a clear-cut path to college.
My wife and I have been blessed with three sons. We want our sons to continue to attend faith-based schools.
Pat McCaskey is backing a new Catholic schools initiative, Lessons That Last a Lifetime. Call 312-655-8486 for more information. That's 312-655-8486. Support Lessons That Last a Lifetime.
Good character and gospel values are just as important as good grades.
Welcome back to Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's Northwest Side. Our phone number, 312-751-1979, here on Relevant Radio 950 on this cold, blustery Monday morning here in Chicago. But weather very typical for this time of year. Week from Thursday, we celebrate literally Thanksgiving, and the word Eucharist means to give thanks. Our guest, the first segment, William Booth, Major Gifts Officer for Catholic Schools in the Office for Stewardship and Development, and a new initiative entitled Lessons That Last a Lifetime. Bill, the thought came during the break. People, of course, know well Big Shoulders, inner city. What makes Lessons That Last a Lifetime unique and separate from Big Shoulders?
I think geographically is a big point, because the Big Shoulders program does support schools, some 80 to 90 schools in the inner city of Chicago. But, you know, as time goes on, there's a lot of distressed schools out there of the 257 schools that we have throughout the Archdiocese. And many of those in the collar areas like Cicero and Franklin Park and even Waukegan. And there's probably at least two dozen of those schools that are really financially challenged that certainly could be symbolic of what the inner city is experiencing.
See, I think you raise a good point. See, a lot of people think the schools that are in trouble are only found, in the inner city,
right,
and nothing could be further from the truth.
That's
because
right.
With rising tuition costs, the economy we are in,
right,
once you start getting a dwindling of the school population and you have your faculty, the less income you generate, the more pressure you put onto the parish.
Yes.
Subsidies have to be held at a certain level. So Big Shoulders does a marvelous job, but your whole project initiative takes us to a different part of the Archdiocese Chicago. What type of support are you looking for this initiative?
Well, you know, I call myself a major gifts officer, which, a major gift is what it is. But, when you're starting a new initiative, you have to start really from the ground up. And so any gifts of whatever amount will be satisfactory and welcome. Although major gifts, there's a huge need out there, as many of the pastors in the Archdiocese would attest, and principals that I've become knowledgeable of and close to over the 6 to 8 months that I've been doing this initiative. And I think that's, I think I've been blessed with the... seeing that kind of need, and it drives me to try to seek major gift support that can really, really make a difference. And
let me ask you this, Bill.
Pursuing.
2-3 years ago, if anybody would have said to you that you would be the head man or the major gifts officer for an event or a project initiative called Lessons That Last a Lifetime, you would probably said, you're out of your mind. Because at that point, you were at CTU and going along with life. And all of a sudden, how literally the Spirit touched your life, people gathered with you, and all of a sudden, something new in your life. How has this changed you? How has this touched your life, what you're doing?
You know, I didn't care necessarily before I turned Catholic. I thought a career was a job and that it was all about money. And when I turned Catholic, I felt like the Holy Spirit is driving me to do something more with my life than just think about the monetary aspects of my career. And so I'm taking this position on as really a passion, as well as, you know, a full-time employment. But I think that's what everything that I do with this project is really from the heart. And so I hopefully that emanates when I make presentations, when I speak to possible donors, that it's, you know, I speak out of some genuineness that really this there is a huge need here, and I'm only being what I am in terms of what this is going to mean to not only the Catholic schools and the Archdiocese, but the society in Chicago as a whole. I mean, this is a social justice issue as well.
So really, as you're doing this, and it's obvious to me, but people can't see because with the medium of radio,
sure,
there's truly a passion about this. And really, you're doing this for the children and their parents, for them to be given an opportunity for a faith-based education in a Catholic school.
That's right.
Which
that's
I think right. was marvelous. Now, right. what's happening next Monday night, a week from today?
Well, one of the functions or one of the events that I've carried on through, and it's been going on for a few years now, and it's been very successful, and the Cardinal loves it, is the Capital for Kids event. And that's next Monday night from 5 to 9 o'clock at the Capital Grill downtown. And it is a fundraising event to support the Cardinal's Scholarship Fund. And that scholarship fund is part of the Lessons That Last a Lifetime initiative, but focuses precisely on supporting, making funds available to families who need emergency tuition assistance to keep their kids in Catholic schools. And I can't think of a more significant time, in, given all the what's happened in the financial markets over the last many months. The calls that I get, and I know that the calls that Sister Mary Paul gets
are really
heartwarming and wrenching. And so the need is tremendous.
So again, Bill, it's Capital for Kids Evening, which is a week from today, which is November 24th.
24th.
5 until 9
p.m. 5 till 9 o'clock.
We're at?
It's at the Capital Grill on 633 North St. Clair.
And
Jim Lyman, the proprietor of the restaurant, gives his restaurant away for this fundraiser.
So he's underwriting it from the restaurant perspective.
Well, he's supporting it and giving as much as he possibly can.
Which is tremendous.
The food and the drink is extraordinary. Not only will the Cardinal be there, but Pat McCaskey will be on hand too, and he's got a little rendition about the importance of Catholic schools, and he's going to sing that to the tune of Bear Down Chicago Bears.
He is.
So you know, that should be an interesting.
Pat and I went to high school together at Notre Dame in Niles, but he's several years older.
Sure.
I'm in the class of 71. I think Pat is a class of 66 or 67 from Notre Dame High School in Niles. So as I was entering, he was leaving. Give us a phone number, Bill, for people to learn more about this incredible project.
Call me. I'll be on hand at any time, 312-655-8486.
That number once again?
312-655-8486.
I want to thank in a very special way Bill Booth, the Major Gifts Officer for Catholic Schools in the Office for Stewardship and Development, with a new initiative entitled Lessons That Last a Lifetime. Again, Bill, that phone number one more time.
312-655-8486.
And I'm Father Greg Sackwitz here on Catholic Schools Today. Stay with us. We'll be back after a break. And Bill, God bless you. Keep up the great ministry. And greetings to those back at Holy Family.
Thank you very much, Father.
Catholic Campaign for Human Development awards financial grants to community groups that fight poverty and support positive change. Here's a few of those groups. The Brighton Park Neighborhood Council.
We strengthen our community through foreclosure counseling, parent patrols, and a youth jobs program.
The Logan Square Neighborhood Association.
We want to repopulate the Lathrop homes to help preserve an affordable, diverse community.
Lake County United.
We are campaigning for a charter high school to serve our far northern suburbs.
The Latino Union of Chicago.
We provide safety equipment and training for workers struggling to make ends meet.
The Progress Center for Independent Living.
We support people with disabilities in suburban Cook County to help them maintain their independence.
The Target Area Development Corporation.
We just celebrated a summer without murders thanks to our violence prevention programs.
Make Chicago and its suburbs a better place to live. Support the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz on Relevant Radio 950 AM on this blustery Monday morning. But typical weather here in Chicago as we, can't believe it's more than half over for November. And it's, someone pointed out to me this weekend that 12 years ago today, 3 days ago, the late Cardinal Joseph Bernardin had passed away, and his funeral would have been on, and though it would have been then Wednesday, November 20th, 1996. So it's hard to believe 12 years have gone by since the death of the late Cardinal Bernardin here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. We move along here with our Catholic Schools Today segment number two. And Catholic school student assessment is a very important topic for all parents. As part of the Genesis Strategic Plan, the Office of Catholic Schools has organized a team of educational experts to address student assessment issues. And with us here in studio, we have Daniel Furch, the Director of Data and Research for the Office of Catholic Schools. And with us also is Evelyn Califf, Principal of St. Mary Star of the Sea School in Chicago. To Dan and Evelyn, welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
Thank you.
And glad to have you in this weather coming down here today. Maybe, Dan, how did this whole thing come about, and how long has it been in process?
Well, about 3 years ago, we started out with a team of principals and university faculty and Office of Catholic Schools staff, and we sat for many months developing a vision of student assessment. And since that time, we've developed a strategic plan, an action plan, to work on specific objectives of a goal that we defined having to do with student assessment.
Now, Dan, let me ask you, what do you mean by student assessment? What does that mean?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think most people think of standardized testing as the assessment mode of and the only assessment mode. And one of the things that we really emphasize in our vision statement is that assessment's much broader than standardized assessment. It includes performance types of tasks, it problem-based learning type of things, also observation, all sorts of projects, and in many different ways of evaluating it. There are so many different ways of learning, and there are so many different ways of expressing that, and there's so many different ways of evaluating that. And more importantly, how do you get the student involved in their own learning?
Now, Evelyn Califf, the principal of St. Mary's Star of the Sea, what has been your involvement with this whole initiative?
Dan asked me to be part of SALT, and SALT is the Student Assessment Leadership Team, which is a group of principals and some teachers who are helping develop the action implement the action plan for Dan, okay? And I'm also a part of this other team, which is the action team, and working with the university people and the Office of Catholic Schools to get this assessment, a deeper understanding of assessment, not only for principals, but for students, for parents, and to give them a different kind of understanding, but mainly a deeper understanding.
So it sounds like you go to a lot of extra meetings.
More than I want to admit to.
I could just tell by your facial expression, another meeting. Dan, what are some of the goals of the entire program?
Well, again, it's really to broaden our view of assessment. This past year, we have focused on increasing student assessment literacy amongst our faculty and administration. To no fault of their own, and certainly there is a lot of good assessment practice going on in our schools, but I think overall in the field of education, there is so little attention paid to the training of assessment techniques. And one of the things that we have done with the SALT group was to increase our familiarity with our main standardized test instrument and glean the most information out of that and use that to change curriculum, use that to come up with better instructional groupings, how to better meet the individual needs of students. But in addition to that, we would also look at how to interpret that data, how to track students over time. And
well, let me ask you this, Dan.
Yes.
How has there been a change in curriculum? I always know we talk about in a Catholic school, we're dealing with a faith-based education.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the heart of it. In everything we do, the minute the child enters the classroom, enters the building, it's all about a faith-based education that we better be different. Mm-hmm. It's rooted in Jesus Christ, you know, sacramentally, in terms of the values, but a faith-based education. So what has been like maybe a shift in the curriculum or a part of? Or is that still in process?
Well, that is in process. I think with respect to the SALT group that has focused entirely on the Terra Nova, we've shown how you can use that data and shape your curriculum based on the information that you get. But in addition to that, we have gone to our Catholic teaching roots, and we have reflected over the last couple of years, and we've come up with a concept that we're just developing and we're just sharing with our faculty and our administration, but it's something that is still taking time to do, and it's a concept called just and fair. Okay, and it's really a fusion of our Catholic teachings and a sound educational practice.
Now, one thing we've been talking about, we can mention, and sometimes we take for granted. Evelyn, help our listeners know, what is Terra Nova? Is that a standardized test?
It's a standardized achievement test that the benchmark grades 3, 5, and 7 are mandated to take. The local school can decide if they want to give it to the other grades in the in their school.
And when did that begin? How long ago?
Oh,
been going on for a while?
Yes, Terra Nova. I'm a principal for 10 years, and when I was in the classroom, we were giving it then. So it's
been around.
We started in 1987 with the Terra Nova, but we've been using other other standardized assessments now, how
does
before
it,
that
how
time.
Does it differ then from the ISAT, the
well,
Terranova?
The ISAT is the Illinois State Assessment Test, and our test is actually different in terms of content and also how the structure of the test. The Terranova requires short answer, which are basically written responses, and a human judges some of those responses. There are also selection tasks, as you would see in any standardized test, but we feel that it's a little more revealing in terms of the information it shares, and it's we think, a little more demanding.
Now, Evelyn, with this group you're involved with called SALT, has there been talk about another group called PEPPER? Like salt and pepper?
Hey, it's Monday. I don't think
hey,
so.
It's Monday in Chicago. Hey, come on. Give me a break, all right? A little humor, a little smile here on a Monday morning. That's right. I'm taking a lot of flack here from the my engineer and producer there, Brian. But no, we're going to go to a break here before the next question. Catholic Schools Today, Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz. 312-751-1979. We'll continue the discussion right after a break, and do not touch that dial.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze that lasted forever. Great kiss. Those things are really important.
She got a really short haircut that she hated, and I wrote her a note and put it up on the mirror saying that she was a cute girl with cute hair.
What have I done for my marriage today?
We've actually organized a date night tonight.
What have I done for my marriage today?
Wow, that is a great question.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah.
Today, I sent an email to my husband, and I said, "You rock."
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
I listened to my wife when we talked on the telephone today. She really likes it when I listen.
What have you done for your marriage today? Little things can make a big difference. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org, a message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at CatholicNewWorld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today, a special edition of Catholic Community of Faith here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, and our guest this segment, Daniel Furch, the Director of Data and Research for the Office of Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago, and we are joined by Evelyn Califf, Principal of St. Mary Star of the Sea in Chicago. Evelyn, what is the benefit to student and parents regarding this whole initiative?
Well, first of all, I wanted to reiterate what you said and what Dan said, that we do have a faith-based curriculum, but we also have to consider the fact that this is also based on the Illinois state standards. The Illinois standards bring credibility to what we are doing. This is not something that's just taken out of somebody's brain. This is based on the standards that we have here in Illinois. And so this is a benefit not only to our students, but also to the parents, knowing that their children are receiving that excellent education that we promote. And when we talk about assessment, it is based on the needs of the student. The student, whatever the student needs, the teacher at this time has to be looking at that to see where they are going. They just cannot teach from a book. And we basically say that the book is not the Bible anymore. Okay, we have to look at the standards and then look at the students' needs. Where do we get the needs? We get the needs from the Terra Novas. We look at those Terra Novas. We analyze the Terra Novas to see where the students need the extra help, where they are not mastering. And I think that's the thing about assessment now, is we're looking to master the goals. We are looking to see that students retain information and not just impart it, just spoon feed them, like we did years ago.
So we are talking then differential learning.
Yes, we are. It is. We definitely need to differentiate what we do with the students. Yes.
Which is unlike when I was in grammar school. It was a
one size does not fit all.
Yeah.
One size does not
fit all. That's exactly right. And Dan, adding that conversation, we were talking off the air, add your component to what Evelyn just said.
Well, I think part of it is that there is an emphasis on accountability and assessment for a long time, and certainly in the public schools. And we are equally concerned about accountability, but I think what we know in the field of education and in our classrooms is that classroom assessment is the thing that makes the largest difference on a student's success. And there is this emphasis in our vision of assessment and what's going in our schools on a type of assessment called formative assessment.
It is now, say something about that. What's formative assessment?
Formative assessment, there's a simpler title for it. It's called assessment for learning, whereas assessment of learning is more the accountability type of assessment. Assessment for learning is something in which takes place on a daily basis. It informs the students as to how they're learning, what they're learning, what maybe they're not. It requires reflection on their part. And really, true formative assessment isn't graded. Think of a coach, whether it's a musical coach or whether it's a sports coach. They're not grading the people that they're teaching on their practice. And I think when we're in the classroom and students are learning something, give them the freedom to take risks. Give them the freedom of not having an accountability result or consequence hanging over their head, where they can be a little more relaxed and be free to learn.
This was like the practice field.
Yes.
And also like the definition of a practicing Catholic is one who's trying to get it right. We're practicing.
Exactly.
And somehow we're practicing. Also, if you look at the life of Jesus Christ, Jesus was about the formation of people, at the same time, information. So he came to form a people and inform, and both components are very important. And the thing for the Jesus was, he would gather the people, listen, but the key was, now go.
Mm-hmm.
Go and evangelize. So it happens in different ways. When dealing with a faith-based education, there's a formation component and information component. Now, in what you're doing, what still needs to be done? What is still not happening, or you're still trying to tweak and make better?
Well, I think it's just that, is increasing that awareness of the value of classroom assessment, increasing our collective literacy of how to integrate assessment and instruction, how to involve and engage students in their own learning, and particularly in evaluating their own learning. And because ultimately, we are facilitators of a child's learning. And it's that child who actually takes on that responsibility, increasing responsibility, as they go in their academic career.
Now, along those lines, Evelyn, what role can parents play with what Dan just said? Is you're dealing with a student, but again, it's never in isolation, but it's, again, it's connected with the classroom, with the entire faculty, the school. But the role of the parents is extremely important.
Definitely. The parent and the school must work together. They must work together as partners, so that communication is the foremost thing that needs to be shared between the home and the school. And as far as the teacher is concerned, I think the teacher really needs to continually give the feedback. As Dan said, in this formative assessment, the child needs constant feedback. And the feedback is simply not just a letter grade, not just a percentage grade, but the actual narrative, the talking with the child and saying, try this, maybe you should go on this route. Did you try looking at it in a different fashion? Okay, and these are things that need also to be communicated with the parent, all right? And I think that this will help the child attain that mastery of the concept, which is something that this is not the way we were taught, okay, years ago. This is not the way we're taught, and it's not anybody's fault, okay? It's just that we're looking deeper into this idea of assessment. When I was in college, okay, I can remember one course on test construction. That is really not assessment, okay? And so we have to help our teachers, which will help our students learn how to assess. And as Dan said, that self-reflection.
So we've really come a long way. So we need to bring this segment to a close. I want to thank in a very special way our guest this segment, Daniel Furch, the Director of Data and Research for the Office of Catholic Schools, and Evelyn Califf, Principal of St. Mary Star of the Sea in Chicago. I want to thank you, Dan and Evelyn, for joining us. Keep up the great work. 312-751-1979 here on Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Are you an active volunteer in your parish? Do you want to grow spiritually and deepen your faith and prayer life? Do you want to know more about the Bible, church doctrine and history, and about sacraments and liturgy? The Archdiocese of Chicago offers the Called and Gifted program for generous people like you. Through weekly classes and monthly formation days, Called and Gifted helps parish volunteers become more effective parish ministers. You'll study at a site near you, forming friendships and deepening your faith. And each month, you'll attend a formation day of prayer and learning at a retreat center of stunning beauty. Over 1,500 volunteer ministers have found greater confidence for ministry through the Called and Gifted program. For more information about this wonderful opportunity for growth, call Sister Peg at 847-837-4555 or email layministry@usml.edu. Don't put it off. Call today.
Welcome back to Catholic Schools Today, a special edition of Catholic Community Faith, and I'm Father Greg Sackowitz. And on this blustery, cold November morning here in Chicago, for our last segment, we have with us Marlene DeSantis, principal of St. Rene Goupil in Chicago. And something very exciting and special is happening at St. Rene. Each grade has chosen a different charity to support through service projects. Marlene, the principal, welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
Oh, thank you so much.
And first of all, it sounds very exciting. How long has this been in the offing? Was this your idea? How did this whole thing get started?
Well, it was kind of, like most things around here, it's a community affair.
Mm-hmm.
We were thinking about how can we get the children involved in a 50th anniversary. That's really what the impetus was with this. And we thought it's important that they understand that for 50 years we've been an active, vital parish. We want to continue that. So we decided that we would do service projects. Well, then in talking to the faculty, we all decided, well, we'll each do a different one. So from preschool to eighth grade, we have all different projects from Paws for Chicago, World Relief, Misericordia, Heart of Mary, Sisters of St. Joseph, Brookfield Zoo, Share the Care, Holy Childhood Association, Maria Shelter for Women, Hope's on the Way, which deals with the victims of Hurricane Katrina, which our deacon is very involved in, Ronald McDonald House and Lions Club. We're making collections of glasses and clothes and food and all the different things, pencils and erasers and different supplies.
Well, Marlene, for example, talk about Misericordia. What grade level is doing Misericordia?
First grade.
Now, what are they doing with Misericordia? How are they responding?
As you know, Misericordia provides services to children and adults with mild to profound developmental.
Correct. I'm there with Sister Rosemary Connolly. She's a dynamic, and they're doing great work at Misericordia. So what are the first graders doing?
Students are adapting to residence and will send holiday cards, supplies, and well wishes throughout the year. We had a letter from Misericordia, which told about, let me read this so I get this straight, the Secret Santa.
Mm-hmm.
And this thank you for thinking of Misericordia. I'm happy to provide you with the Secret Santa special occasion wish list. So we got this wish list from Misericordia, and then the children are bringing in things to fulfill the wish list, and they will be given to Misericordia.
That is wonderful. And also you mentioned Brookfield.
Brookfield Zoo.
What are you doing there?
Well, Share the Care program. They've adopted a snow leopard, and they're going to provide for its care for the year. The third graders collected crushed cans that will be returned in for cash to help feed the animal and maintain its habitat.
So really, and also, what about with Katrina?
With Katrina, Hope's on the Way, that's students will make holiday greeting cards for students of Louisiana St. Gabriel Archangel Church. A collection for school supplies, notebook, pencils, crayons will take place as well in the spring, and a car wash. And then there are groups of parishioners that go down to Louisiana with our deacon. Last year they helped paint the convent.
Now let me ask you this. Really two-part question. Why are you doing this? Which, you know, please, my question is not to be negative, but, you know, why are you doing this? Because I certainly believe in service projects, which is a great way for, you know, living out the gospel, because Jesus was always about helping those, especially with less. And what do you hope the students learn through these service projects?
Well, the purpose of this project is to make the children aware of all the many needy people
mm-hmm.
in the world. In addition, the children will experience how they, in their own way, can touch the hearts of people and help make this a better world through simple efforts in caring and sharing. We use St. Paul as our inspiration for this. He teaches us that each of us has received a special gift to use in service to one another. So we pray daily for the different causes, the children in the classrooms, pray for their different organizations. It just lets them know that
And Marlene, I have found that young people truly enjoy helping those in need. Like I find at St. Mary of the Woods, when we do service projects, our young people, when they make sandwiches for the poor, they really feel they're making a difference. And we sometimes underestimate young people thoroughly enjoy from their heart helping others. And we connect that with Jesus through our faith, saying to reach out. Because the whole life of Jesus, he lived among the poor, the marginalized, And what has been the response of young people, you know, from a first grader, from an eighth grader, fifth grader? What have they said to you about this, all this service project components? What are things you hear when you walk up and down the hallways of the school?
They're so excited about it. They all want to tell me everything that they brought in. And they understand that it's for children that need help. Right now we're going to be working with St. Vincent de Paul. They have a storefront or something. I can't remember what.
It is a storefront, yes, exactly.
Some of our kids are going to be going there over the Thanksgiving holiday to help paint it. And they just, you know, they volunteer for it. When we go to the shelter, it's almost as if they want to adopt the kids.
That is wonderful. We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, and our guest is Marlene DeSantis, principal of St. Rene Goupil in Chicago, 312-751-1979. Stay with us. We'll be right back after a break.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today. Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz. And our guest this last segment, Marlene DeSantis, principal of St. Rene Goupil School in Chicago. Now, Marlene, I know well that your school, St. Rene Goupil, is healthy, vibrant. The attendance is going up in the school. What are some of the other initiatives you have going on at the school? I hear one that's called the solar.
Oh, yes, we have a solar panel. We received a grant for that, and we're really excited about that. And even from our Father Tom, our pastor, he's the site administrator. We tried once before, but we didn't get it. Well, this time we all put our heads together, and we came up with all sorts of lesson plans and how we're going to demonstrate and explore renewable and non-renewable. We're going to do that for our energy fair for our January 18th open house for Catholic Schools Week. We are working everything from solar cars to voltaic. I have to read this because I can't even say some of this stuff. Voltaic cells, solar power, how to use a voltmeter, an ammeter, chemical energy, solar beads. I mean, it's these children that are going to inherit this earth that we have, and it's God's made us the custodians of this earth.
Well, it sounds very much like your school is very much into environmental issues.
Yes.
Which is so important, because as you mentioned, Marlene, which is so true, this is our earth, which is a gift from God.
Absolutely.
And we need to be better stewards of nature, creation. I've been bird watching since I was 10 years old, so that's the last 45 years. I don't find time to do it as much as I once did. And there's no question in my mind, just from an ornithological point of view, there are fewer birds flying the earth in terms of some of the species that are now going extinct. You are going to have your crows and your pigeons and your herring gulls and birds like that that can really adapt to bricks. But some of the species, I remember a woman on the radio here once said, she's a member of the Illinois Audubon Society, she said, our small birds, warblers, and our vireos and thrushes are the canary in the coal mine, and we're not listening.
Yes.
As species are going extinct, but I find with a whole generation of younger people, like the children of your school, when we're environmental friendly, solar paneling, et cetera, the children then become sensitive, saying, this is our earth, we need to take care of it, which goes back to being stewards of all of God's gifts.
Absolutely.
What else do you have going on at the school that might be of interest to our listeners?
Well, we're in the process of forming a green committee so we can further our environmental program and teach the students more about their role as stewards of the
Say something about that green committee. That I like that. Sounds good.
Well, students, families, and parishioners, right now we have our Abitibi paper recyclers, so people are just helping tremendously. We wanted to make a bonus, and people started sending in all of that. So we're giving out little green bags right now for our 50th anniversary, and hopefully to use the green bag instead of the plastic bags. And then the parents or the parishioners, because we already had our St. Vincent de Paul food drive, but asking the parishioners to fill the green bag that they're going to be given out free at Mass and bring food back for our St. Vincent de Paul people, and then to use the green bag instead of using plastic, which, you know, stores are going to. So
now give us a website and phone number for people to learn more about your school, Marlene.
www.strenegoupil.com.
No, I think we should spell that out. So www. And keep going. Start spelling this one out.
STRENEGOUPIL Chicago. Is it dot org?
Probably be dot com.
.com.
He probably be dot com. Yeah.
.com.
In fact, I'm almost positive. And what about a phone number?
773-586-4414.
And that number once again.
773-586-4414, and our open house is January 18th. It's the Sunday before Catholic Schools Week, so if you have any questions or would like to see what we're doing, we're having a whole energy fair just related to the solar power and renewable and non-renewable energy for our energy fair.
Out of curiosity, Marlene, how long have you been principal there?
This is my seventh year that I've been have the privilege of being the principal over here.
And the thing is, in those 7 years, what's the biggest change you've seen in the school in terms of regarding faculty or students? You know, we always think that things stay the same, but things are always changing. Or as principal, where do you see the vision of the school going into the future?
Well, we've adopted that Genesis document, and we do believe in everything that I was listening to what Evelyn Califf was saying. We are trying so hard to get all of that going and all the different...
Marlene, I've got to do a timeout. Our clock broke here. I'm getting signals from the producer and the engineer to break this. Wow, I lost track of time with the discussion. So I want to thank Marlene DeSantis, principal of St. Rene Goupil in Chicago, for being a guest. Thank you to our producer, Ryan Blackburn, and Jasmine Quiros, our engineer, Brian Hockey Hitman Brock. Thank you for joining us here on Catholic Schools Today. God bless and have a wonderful week.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.